It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
He had the dog, the wiener part, in the inside of his
like
suit
the inside
jacket.
Of my Hugo Boss coat.
And the bun was somewhere else.
A wiener, and yeah, the bun was in my pocket warming.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
They're down by 10 points with 8 minutes to go, and no one would have put money on the Jags winning that game. Nobody.
I was thinking to myself, should I panic, or is it just like last year in the Super Bowl? Okay, this one's not happening. It's time for some new blood. And you think the same thing again, and they do it again.
It's clockwork,
and without Gronk, Edelman's not playing, and they just, Amendola is just this guy who, by the way, when he first got there, and when he was with St. Louis, I hated his guts. He was always hurt. I thought he was a wimp. Now he's God.
Well, I read a stat today about how when Edelman went down, Belichick really withheld the amount of snaps that Amendola actually played during the regular season because he knew he'd need him come playoff time.
Right, right.
He only was on the field for like 48 or 49% of the snaps throughout the year because he knew he was a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
And he knew that at some point, someone's got to fill in the touches that Edelman was going to get. And that's the brilliance of Belichick. And how about the gear Belichick wears to the post-game press conference?
It's like a boy's small sweater with cut-off sleeves.
He was awesome. Like,
and he's got no jacks whatsoever.
Not, like, any.
Pipe cleaners.
But he also, like, had a couple of the most awkward hugs in the celebrations.
I think that's because his coaching staff and his players don't know how to react around him.
I forget the guy with the grit grinder with the beard.
Patricia.
That guy.
That's the defensive coordinator.
I said this about Rick Tocchet last year. You wonder why the Penguins wouldn't just say, you want a couple million to stay the assistant coach? Why wouldn't the Pats just...
It's the prestige of being a head coach.
They all want it?
Yeah, you want it. You know, you being an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator.
I know, but the point is, why wouldn't you wait until it's run out? Like, just stick around and then... Who knows? Maybe your leverage goes up. I mean, it probably can't be any higher than it is right now.
Well, that's the point. And McDaniel's already left. Remember, he went to Denver years ago. He was there when they drafted Tebow.
So why would he want to do it again? What, is he going to Indianapolis now?
Yeah, he's going to Indianapolis. So he must know that Andrew Luck is going to be healthy and going to be ready to play. He's not going to another team without a quarterback that's going to be drafting the Tim Tebow of this upcoming draft.
Right.
But
it also makes you ask the question, if McDaniels runs the offense and basically calls all the plays, Patricia.
Yeah,
what does Belichick do?
Well, he game plans. Everything still goes through him.
It runs through him.
They make the play calls, but he hears every call they're making. So if he doesn't want that play call,
guaranteed
that play call isn't going to happen.
He's involved in everything. I think he's a guy who trusts the people around him, but he's got his fingers in everything. And that sounds a lot like the guy here in Toronto.
Yes.
Babcock trusts Smith, trusts the guys around him. Like,
you notice on Saturday night when it comes down to it, it's like, give me the clipboard. I'm doing this. I'll show you guys what to do. Forget your assistant coach plays. I get the clipboard.
But I like that. I like a head coach, especially at that time where the last 2 weeks, Babs has kind of been under a little bit of scrutiny, we'll call it. Like, he was coaching. He got out there and coached, which was, I mean, he's been doing it all along. It's the wrong verbiage to use, but
I love the end of the play, the end of the period, end of the game plays. It's like if you're the defending team, you keep it out of your net, and if you're the offensive team, you're trying to score. And you don't know what's going to happen with the faceoff, so what the hell are you drawing up?
I will say this.
And try to score.
He had his first Scrabble face as a Maple Leafs
after
head coach.
After the second period.
At the end of the second. Yeah. He looked like he was on LSD.
Well, I think he was thinking to himself, what am I doing here when I walk inside here?
Yeah.
Or when I address the team, am I going to lose my mind, or am I going to just be calm and say this or that or not do anything at all? He was really contemplating what message was going to happen.
His mind was racing.
Plus, you know that, and he knows that there are several cameras on him, too.
So
you are... What did Joey Tribbiani, remember Joey Tribbiani from Friends where he was trying to act? He said, you smell the fart. Like, you raise your eyebrow and you smell the fart if you're trying to look like you're deep in thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Babcock
had. He did have a bit of Joey going on there. Because I do think he was playing it up a little bit for the cameras. He knew the cameras were going to be on him. The players had already left.
Yeah.
He wasn't waiting to talk to a ref. But he had a Scrabble face going there. I think he realized that he looked a little bit disheveled or a little bit out of it to an extent. And he's like, all right, I better get the eyes darting around. I better look up at the scoreboard, try to figure out where I'm going with this.
Well, he got it.
But done. I think he probably had the same thing running through his mind that every Leaf fan had running through their mind. Here we go again. They're going to lose to this team twice in a week and a half. And they're going to lose their fifth game in a row. And then all of a sudden, the Leafs come out in the third, and they played very inspired, and they had the lead 10 minutes later. And the Habs lose, Florida loses, Detroit loses. So even after all that panic, all that concern after 40 minutes, they walk out of there with 2 points, and all the teams behind them continue to crumble.
Yeah, there's no, unfortunately for their, I guess, mental well-being, there's nobody pushing them. So the only challenge the Leafs have from anybody is going to be themselves.
It's
really
an internal challenge. It has to be. That's why the Anderson comments made so much sense. Whether you like them publicly or not,
right,
at some point they have to ignite themselves here, because Florida's not going to do it. Montreal, cool. Detroit, Ottawa, Buffalo, they're not going to do it. And
Not going to do it. Not even close. No chance. No how. Well, no way.
And
like, it honestly looks like 82 points will get you into the playoffs.
That's
82 points.
That's what I was thinking the other day. Like, it's not going to be 95. It's going to be mid-80s.
They're at 57 right now. There's a very good chance they need 25 points in 34 games.
Let's round it up just to 30 just for fun.
Sure. 30 points. They need 30 points in their final 34 games.
Yeah.
That and seems doable.
I was thinking that, I think, yesterday or today, this morning, the amount of points, because people were saying, it's going to be 93, 94. No, it's not. And there's, because teams have spread it out on both sides, too. There are teams that kind of have been taking some points away. We got to get into Vegas at some point. Obviously, they're, you know, Gerard Gallant. The scene of the crime where he took a cab a year earlier. Now he goes in and wins, and his team's just first in the NHL.
It really is
incredible. An expansion team. But I think there are teams that you didn't expect to eat some points off of other teams, and one of them is Colorado tonight. You can't sleep. This team's won 9 in a row with Johnny Burns in net.
Johnny Burns expected to play again tonight. He has been lights out.
He's been great for
them. He's been lights out, and I think he's got the right to have a bit of a chip on his shoulder coming into this
Absolutely.
Game tonight. A bit of a vendetta to pay back. I mean, Babcock kind of, he did embarrass him. He sent him down to the minors.
Yeah, and he was a part of the full dog park defense. Do you remember some of the gong shows?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he
got hung out to dry. Johnny Burns didn't necessarily play like Patrick Waugh either when he was here.
Agreed.
No.
You know, when his first 45 to 50 games that first season, he played really well.
Yeah.
He did really play well. And then he got injured down the stretch, and he just never recovered. And he's not a starter. He's a backup, but he's a guy who can give you quality spot duty. He can be a high-end backup. He's a talented guy. He's not a big guy, and conventional wisdom suggests that you're looking for bigger goalies in today's day and age. But Bernier's played really well. Colorado got the Leafs. Like, when the Leafs were in Colorado a few weeks ago, the Leafs weren't that close. This top line is on fire. McKinnon's one of the best players in the league
right now.
This won't be an easy game tonight.
It's one of those. He's scoring some great goals, but he's scoring some goals where you're like, this guy's having a year.
Yeah, he just gets across the blue line and wrists it on net. It goes in. I mean, he's got a good shot.
He has a great shot. But there was a goal he scored the other day, glove side on the goalie. I'm like, that's a stoppable puck, but he's having one of those years where it's. I think he had 2 against Martin Jones, and they were not good goals from Martin Jones' standpoint against San Jose the other day. McKinnon is a force this year, though. He really is. He is in the heart conversation. He has to be.
He should be leading points. At some point in his career, if you go first overall, this is what you should materialize into.
Exactly.
You go first overall in a pretty good draft, at some point you should be considered a top 5, top 10 player in the league at any given moment.
Right.
This is what I think people had in mind when he went first overall. He had that great rookie year. Remember that playoff series, Colorado against Minnesota, I think it was, and he was outstanding in that series. And then it just all tailed off. Everything went to hell out in Colorado, but they've got it back on the rails.
Yeah.
And this really is proof of how different the Maple Leaf division is and the division Colorado's in. Colorado's won 9 in a row.
Look at the Central division.
They're in fifth in their division. Yeah. They've won 9 in a row.
Minnesota's in second last in the Central. They've got 55 points. That's two less than Toronto.
Yeah.
That's nuts, man.
In Chicago, they're calling for a blow it up rebuild. They're like, we're done. We can't compete with these teams.
They've got 50.
There you go. There's your. You can't blow it up and rebuild in Chicago, but unfortunately, you're missing your starting goalie. You're rolling out Jeff Glass and Anton Forsberg. That's your season.
You're probably
done. Good
night,
Irene.
In that division, even with Crawford, you probably were in tough.
You're in tough for sure, but Crawford was their MVP up until he got injured. And it doesn't sound like he's doing very well. Like, Joel's trying to have some smoke and mirrors there as far as saying, well, we expect him back by the end of the season, hopefully. And there's the word, when you use the words hopefully, that's not good.
No.
That's what,
or by the end of the season?
Yeah.
There's 40 games left.
That's what L.A. had to do when Quick injured himself. They were saying, well, you know, January, there was no chance he was coming back in January when you hear about what he had to go through.
And another NHL note, the Vegas Golden Knights are in first place in the league. In the league?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
in the league.
Else.
That is redonk.
I think there was a bit of karma involved, that the fact that they took over the league lead a year after Gerard Gallant got the cab treatment in Carolina.
Same building.
Same building. A year earlier, this guy's getting his stuff off the bus and paying for his own cab.
I would have canceled the bus on the way to the game and just got 85 yellow cabs, yellow vans.
They should have had fun with that.
Yeah. They should have. That team.
And
looks
Florida,
like
look at where Florida is. I mean, not that Gerard Gallant was going to change that. If he was still the head coach, they'd probably still be in about the same spot, but... Vegas, full credit to them. It's a remarkable story. They have to be embarrassing a lot of teams in the league. Like, I mean, the front offices of a lot of teams in the league.
Yeah,
if you're a GM,
just went
coach,
Carolina yesterday and they
players,
just embarrassed them.
Well, exactly. Like, look at the Canadian teams. All right, look at what like Edmonton, Edmonton.
Like, all the Canadian teams, Ottawa, Edmonton,
Montreal, Vancouver.
Here's the thing, though. Vegas Golden Knights are first in the league.
Does anybody think they'll win the Stanley Cup? And does anybody think that they'll be a playoff team next year?
I would say no and no to that, but Noodles, they're in first place on January 22nd or whatever it is.
I agree.
This is shocking enough.
I think they'll make the playoffs next year. I think they're a good team. They've got a good foundation. And they probably got unbelievable prospects coming up with all the draft picks they have and continue to have.
Now, I won't dive down the analytics side, but they are having some...
Some good things going their way.
Quality luck involved.
Which is fine. They're allowed to do that. But teams are allowed to have that.
You are. But I just think that this could be the Colorado Avalanche when they got 112 points. This could be, you know, take your pick. Calgary Flames, the year that they ran away, the Hartley year where he won. Like, everything is aligning perfectly for Vegas.
I'm with you, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it next year.
But this year, as of right now, the way that they've played, they've played great.
First place overall, they're 8 points up on anyone else in their division. 8 points.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to throw it in neutral and finish with home ice.
Yeah.
The problem is they're going to play one of the quality teams in the Central in the first round, and they may be in tough. They could play Minnesota or Dallas or St. Louis. And that may be a difficult spot to be in, but I can't really, I don't really have a foot to stand on here and say that they can't win in the playoffs because I didn't see this coming.
But we keep saying, well, at some point they're going to regress. Some point it hasn't happened. It's January 22nd.
They are steamrolling through teams. But they went into Tampa, beat them 4-1. They spanked Carolina last night. Yeah. Like, they are beating up on teams throughout the NHL. And I'd just love to be a fly on the wall when owners in Arizona and Buffalo and Edmonton and Vancouver roll in and ask their GM how this happened.
Wow.
How did this team...
It's a one-off.
But you still have to be accountable.
How did this team in 1 year, in one...
Okay, but they
expansion
get to choose.
Draft lap
they,
you.
They get to choose all these players. Like it's.
But they don't get to choose the pick of the litter here, Noodles. They pick the
eighth
and ninth and tenth. That's what
you said, but Carlson has 5 more goals than Austin Matthews. Is he a better player?
No, of course not.
Well, then, like,
but still,
you can't say that.
They walked in here, they put a team together that is clearly better than other teams in the league.
Well,
at this point, every other team in the league.
Exactly. So you're going to go to, you know, you're going to go to Chuck Fletcher in Minnesota and say, okay, I'm firing you because look at what George McPhee did.
No, you wouldn't go to that extent. But the teams that have constantly been stumbling over themselves for years, at some point you have to be like, wait a minute, what happened here?
What's your thought process? Why is this?
Why was this guy made available and you could have maybe got in there and got him and you didn't? Or why did this happen and that happen?
And there's another thing that you could keep in mind, too. These GMs haven't inherited anybody's mess from a regime before.
That's a big part of it in terms of Vegas. But
like I'm saying, you get, like, Toronto bought their way out of their mess. Like, no other organization, or a few of them, could be like, oh, here's Robitaille Island for you, Lupo. Let's trade Clarkson away for Horton's contract. Let's bury $15 million in the minors and ask the owners, or MLSE, which is so rich, write this money off. Make it go away. If you're a team in Ottawa, Florida, ask Eugene Melnyk, can I put Colin Greening in the minors at $3 million? He'd tell you, that guy's got to be on the power play.
Yeah, he probably would. But you're expecting owners to act rationally.
Well, that's the truth.
They don't
that's
act rationally. What I'm saying is there are going to be owners, I would guarantee it, that would walk in and say, okay, just explain to me.
Yeah,
because you told me before the year you think you're making the playoffs.
Yeah.
And not only did you miss, the team that knocked you out of it or took that spot
is the brand new
didn't
team.
Exist a year ago.
You're right. That's the great word that you brought up, rational.
It doesn't happen.
There's not rational.
There's not rationality happening here.
Yeah.
Like Ottawa, I'd love to get Eugene Melnyk's honest take about his view on what happened Saturday night. I have never seen in professional sports a road team travel the way the Leafs traveled in Ottawa on Saturday night. I couldn't believe how many Leaf fans were there.
It was honestly like a home game.
There were way more Leaf fans, or it felt that way anyway.
For sure, on TV it looked like that.
Like every single bowl was loaded with Leaf fans. And they were going nuts the whole game. And in the third, when the Leafs started to pour it on, they took over the building.
Yeah.
And that's happened in Buffalo over the years.
Well,
it's happened in Ottawa,
like
Montreal, but not to that extent.
Because there was 17,778 or some garbage like that.
Overcapacity.
Yeah.
Like they took 1,500 seats out.
He was complaining too much.
I don't think Melnyk was either. I think he likes it. He likes that they sold out.
It's good for the rivalry, but it's not good if you're the home team going, hey.
Exactly. You know. Like, imagine you're Dion Phaneuf. We had this conversation last week.
Yeah, I thought that was a turd move by the fans booing him in his own building.
Why?
But that was
Leaf. Who cares?
I know, but I just thought that was classless.
How is that classless? It's sports. Well, you're allowed to boo whoever you want. You pay for the ticket. They didn't throw something at him.
No, but I just thought that was a turd move.
Okay, well, you can think that, but this is what I said last week. This is why I don't think he'd be welcome back into the ACC, because Leaf fans are still booing this guy.
Well, they should be happy.
They're going to Ottawa to boo him.
Yeah.
You don't think he'd be booed if he rolled out into the ACC for a puck drop ceremony tonight?
I think they booed him. He doesn't get booed that much when he plays in Toronto.
He got booed in Toronto. My dad texted me after a conversation. He was in the building that night. He said Dion was getting booed when he touches the puck. He just didn't touch the puck a lot that night.
I guess, yeah.
But I don't have a problem with that. I wouldn't personally do. I'd never had a beef with Dion Phaneuf, but I understand why some people did, more because of what he represented. He represented a down era.
Yeah.
You know, I think Dave Nonis would get booed. Carlisle and Wilson would get booed. But that says something when a player on your team is getting booed in their own building.
Well, that's just because
that's on the fans for selling their tickets.
That's the fans.
Didn't they try
to
do
there.
Something a couple of years ago and limit the amount of tickets that were sold to Toronto people?
Yeah. They did.
But you can't do
that. What did they do?
You shouldn't do that because, like I say, Eugene Melnyk wants to sell out.
Mm-hmm.
So why not have 18,000 fans there regardless? When I played in Calgary in 2001, the team stunk. And we didn't. We weren't very good. We weren't a playoff team. And Calgary was a transient city because of oil and all of that. We'd play Vancouver. We'd play Toronto. And I'd get scored on. Vancouver fans would be cheering very loud.
Mm-hmm.
A lot like that. I think Ottawa's kind of fallen into that little, I mean, the team hasn't played well this year.
Well, that's what's happened. These are all secondary market tickets. Like,
exactly.
Melnyk's not reaping those benefits. He's getting the original price, but not whatever they're making in terms of juice on top of it.
Right.
But clearly Ottawa fans are like, forget it, I'm done. I'll try to make some money back here. And Leaf fans are like, yeah, I'll buy those tickets up.
A lot of walk-ups. Like, I don't know the amount. Their season ticket base is at 12, is it? So there's 6,000 tickets you could walk up for if you
wanted. Well, if you were a fan of a team and your team was in the basement and you had 18 to 20 home games left. Are you trying to just peddle them off to somebody else?
I don't know if I'd try to get rid of all of them, but I'd be willing to give away some of them.
Well,
and
you,
certainly sell
some
of them.
You could put it on StubHub or whatever and get value for them.
Right.
Against the big fan bases. Like Montreal travel as well as Toronto does?
Probably not because of where their team is right now and the proximity. I don't know. I'm sure Habs fans go to Ottawa. I know they do, but that was quite the scene on Saturday night. Taken aback by how many Leaf fans were there.
It would have been worse had they lost. They finally pulled their head out of their rear end.
They did in the third. They really played well. And Riley will not play again tonight.
That's not good.
No. They survived on Saturday against a bad team. Who's playing against the McKinnon, Rantanen, and Landeskog line tonight?
You tell me, two guys.
Probably Hainsey and Gardner, I guess, if that pairing sticks.
Hainsey does what he does. I think Hainsey's a solid player. It just, when you're asking him to do too much, that's where I think you're going to get into trouble.
This guy went from a depth guy, a fifth or sixth guy in Pittsburgh, to a shutdown.
To playing every second on the penalty kill.
Yeah, and against top line assignments. It's just...
That's where your depth is going to get challenged. And I didn't think Freddie Anderson was that great. But
Did you think Babcock took a shot at him?
I thought that was a bit of a dig, don't you think? They dug him out, didn't they say that?
That sounded very purposeful. That
what comment
he said, I'm paraphrasing, but they dug him out tonight, or they saved Freddie tonight, something along those lines.
Like they they propped him up or something.
Propped
like
him up tonight. Sometimes it goes the other way, but tonight the team propped up Freddie, and I think that was, put it this way, if Freddie did make the comments publicly,
kind of,
I don't think Babcock's making that comment.
Yeah, I think he made it pretty clear
over the weekend that he was not happy.
Yeah,
Babcock was not happy that Anderson went public, and I think he probably took it as a bit of a slight on himself, the fact that he said guys on the bench and what he said about the power play unit. That same power play unit gave up another 2-on-1 goal.
Right.
Well, it wasn't a 2-on-1. It was
three guys in the corner after one guy, and then a scramble to get the guy that scored the goal.
That's where I thought the scrabble face came in. Didn't you see that?
He gave the wave to the next unit, like get the hell out of here, get those guys off the ice.
Get those guys off the ice. But you could tell if looks had a caption above it, he had a WTF.
Mm-hmm.
That's what his was.
A lot of people texting in and tweeting in that were there on Saturday. One guy saying it was about 70-30 Leaf fans.
Makes sense.
Another, Stu tweeting in saying he was at the game. It was at least 65% Leaf fans.
I find that hard to believe when people always say, it's cheaper for us. Is it really cheaper to drive to Ottawa, get tickets, hotel, than Leaf tickets?
Well, good.
Or is it just that they want to travel and see the Leafs play? It can't be cheap.
Well, isn't Buffalo a lot cheaper too, though?
Buffalo definitely is.
Gotta be.
But Ottawa's 3.5 to drive, but if you drive right back, so you're just spending gas money, and the tickets here are quite high.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly because I've never bought one.
I've never bought tickets on a secondary market for an Ottawa game. I don't know. What that would cost.
Probably get them at a decent price if on a StubHub or something, and then I think it's probably a little bit cheaper, and plus a different building, road trip,
that's the thing.
Have some beers with your buddies.
It would be a cool experience.
Probably be a great experience.
Yeah, it would be a cool experience. So we'll keep teeing up the Leaf game tonight. You can hear it on TSN 1050, puck drop at 7, pregame at 6:30, and we'll keep looking back on the weekend that was in the NFL, and we have a new king. This gentleman has been crowned the king of Oh My Goodness calls.
Oh, really?
We'll tell you who it is.
Super horny.
Next.
Now, back to Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
The Patriots do it again. The Jags up 20-10. Up by 10 with 8 minutes to go.
How about Minnesota getting rinsed in their own building?
Well, that was in Philly.
In Philly.
They would have been coming home for the Super Bowl.
Have the Super Bowl in their own building.
That's what is a complete troll job.
Yeah, that's...
You're so amped for that game. Your chance to go to the Super Bowl at home. You know people in Minny were making plans. You're playing against Nick Foles.
Yeah.
This is your opportunity. You're favored on the road.
We got clubbed.
They got smoked. It was over at the first... By the half, it was done.
And then did you see the city of Philadelphia greasing the light poles so that these animals wouldn't climb up?
I got to be honest with you, man. Like, I like going to sporting events when I travel. I want to go to baseball games, or if I can go to a football game in a different, anything. I like going. But watching the, like, it's basically Instagram and all the different sites that show, like, the fighting and the craziness, it makes me not want to go.
They're animals in Philly.
Whatever, yeah. Like Brian. Like, no, just the way people behave.
But it's worse in
my
Philly.
Understanding
really,
is,
you're telling me all year long, all these posts I've been looking at, people fighting, drinking. You want to jump on a table, that's great, but...
Yeah, you're talking about tailgating. You're right. It gets out of hand. But, like, last night, there
was... people in general. Like, they get drinking and
they were throwing full beer cans
recording fights, and it's just nuts,
but
man.
You're surprised by that? Get guys in their 20s who are oiled...
Yeah.
We were in our 20s oiled.
I'm telling you right now, me and my buddies didn't do that crap.
I'm not saying that we did either, but it's not like we didn't see it.
Well, we saw it, yeah.
You go to a bar when you're 20 and there are fights. It was inevitable.
I grew up in Edmonton. That was a religion.
And I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying I'm not surprised by it either, and I'm definitely not surprised in Philly.
I've heard the two worst places, and you could probably correct me if I'm wrong, in the NFL is Philadelphia and Oakland.
Those would be on a very short list.
Philadelphia has a jail cell on the main floor.
On site. It's a drunk tank. It's a drunk tank. They throw guys in the clink.
I think they have that in Buffalo. I'd have to look that up, but I think they might have that at Orchard Park. Like a drunk tank in the basement.
A cell where they throw people in to cool off. But yeah, they have that in Philly, and I was warned against going to a Raiders game.
But here's where I understand it's crazy. And you shouldn't have to think like this.
Right.
And this is essentially victim blaming. Do not wear a Vikings jersey if you're going into that building yesterday.
Yeah.
Because you know these guys are stupid and these people are idiots.
Right. Why would you, like, you're taking, and I am being a little bit melodramatic, you're taking your life in your own hands. You and your girlfriend walking in Vikings jerseys. You don't think you're going to get verbally assaulted at the least?
At the very least, you're taking lickings verbally. But they were throwing full
beer cans
at people, which is asinine and crazy.
I hope people got
animalistic.
Oh, just imagine if we were at that Jays game and we were right in front of home plate, like five rows back, and we had our kids with us. I would be going nuts.
People throwing stuff, but there's nothing you could do.
I just think
500
it's crazy.
Level. All right, we got to get into the oh my goodness,
yes,
champion of the world. Looking back on the call from yesterday afternoon, we'll get to that in 2 minutes.
Now back to Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
When Wentz went down, I did not see Nick Foles leading the charge the way that he has.
Just crazy for me to think of the longevity of Brady, where I was at the last Super Bowl in Jacksonville against when he played against the Eagles,
2004.
Yeah, and I think I was my. I don't know. No, I didn't retire. I was just
thinking.
I must have been retired.
Well,
I was at the Super Bowl.
It was 04. It was
lockout.
Oh, it was the lockout.
During
that's
the
why
lockout.
I was there.
It might have been during the lockout. Yeah.
That's
yeah, because it would have been
there.
Yeah, it would have been 05, I guess, technically.
That's where I had mailed in the season, hoping that it was over.
And it was.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. There was only a couple weeks after that, I was sitting at the restaurant. Sweating, hoping that Jerry canceled it.
That was February 18th.
And fist pumped when he said it's over.
That would have been 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, probably, when he made that official announcement.
Yeah, because I think it was like February 18th or 20th, because I flew out that day to London.
So. Yeah, well, you're right, man. Imagine being an Eagles fan, and you've been grinding for the past 14 years waiting to get back, and you get back, and Brady and Belichick are waiting for you again.
Again, it's like...
They're waiting for you again 14 years later.
They're just...
That's how great
insane.
These two are.
But what is the line going to be?
Five
like,
and
is
a half
it gonna
right
be
now.
Just, I know, I saw that, but I mean, it's going to be...
I think it's coming towards the Eagles. I think it'll end at around four and a half.
Really?
Yeah. Well, look at what the Eagles have done 2 weeks in a row as home dogs. And they've bought into this underdog theory. And Nick Foles was spectacular yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's got enough pixie dust to sprinkle it over Minnesota in 2 weeks and do it again. I'm leaning towards him not being able to do that. But look at Nick Foles in the second half yesterday. 11 for 11, 159 yards, two touchdowns, a perfect passer rating, and a perfect quarterback rating. He was perfect in the second half yesterday in the playoffs against the number one defense in the league in Minnesota.
But,
pretty incredible.
But he hasn't gone up against the Pats.
And here's another stat I'll throw at you as I'm playing stats guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Nick Foles has 22 regular season wins in his career. Brady has 27 postseason wins. It's just, this is, still is David versus Goliath. You know
what? Tom Brady coming in, holding his hand, his right hand in his pocket when he usually carries his bag. I loved how it was being broken down on like ESPN and
CBS pregame was doing that too.
Everyone was breaking
it
down.
Did we have Belichick's comment on his hand?
About the postgame and how it's not open heart surgery. And
well, my favorite part,
open heart surgery here.
My favorite part was Brady running out on the field and telling the
camera guy to get the hell out of the way.
Listen to Billy B.
Tom did a great job, and he's a tough guy. We all know that, all right. But I'm not talking about open heart surgery here.
Like, why do you have to take a jab at the guy? Like, it sounded like it was a pretty extensive cut, like 10 to 12 stitches.
Yeah, like that's a good chunk.
That's a pretty decent jab at him too. Like, hey, yeah, he's a tough guy. Did a good job, but let's not get crazy here.
Well, you know, because Belichick's just cut from that cloth. Mm-hmm. Now, will Gronk be available?
That's the next Patriots story. The next 2 weeks, you know they're going to be coy about it. Yeah. He'll be listed as questionable.
I'm shocked he didn't come back and play yesterday.
Now
they didn't need him.
Yeah, they didn't.
That's amazing.
No, I know, but I'm shocked that he didn't come back. You know how they just go in the little tent or in the locker room and they're back out.
Is that a concussion, though?
Yeah, it was a concussion, and they listed that as not coming back concussion. Well, and when he first got hit, Tony Romo was reviewing the tape.
Yeah,
and this is what he had to say.
And they're going to check on him. He got up a little woozy, wobbly. He's going to say he's okay here, but boy, that's a oh my goodness blow to the New England Patriots if he cannot play the rest of this game.
Oh, my goodness, number one from Tony
Romo. Goodness.
The oh, my goodness blow.
Let's hear oh, my goodness, number two from Tony Romo.
The question is, does he get possession back right there? I mean, it's like on his hip, but that's got, oh, my goodness. Let's see the other angle.
I love
oh, my goodness.
That was the Miles Jack fumble, and he actually had a third one. We couldn't find it, but he dropped three oh my goodnesses
yesterday. I know, our Twitter feed started just lighting up the minute that the oh my goodnesses have been dropped.
I thought he was great yesterday, and people have different takes on him, whether or not they like the exuberance, the energy. He talks a lot. He does talk a lot.
I like him.
He had a kind of a strange sound when he was reviewing an Amendola catch in the fourth quarter. You want to hear how he was breaking this down live?
Yeah.
Yes.
Never touched the grass, a catch.
That's hardcore analysis.
What is he, the pallbearer?
He did sound like the pallbearer there a little bit.
Oh, yes!
You can tell he's just so into it. He's like living the moment as he's watching it on the monitor.
I'll tell you what,
I think he's fantastic.
I do too.
I think he does. Like, I was going to do a drinking game yesterday. Every time he said chunk play, I was going to take a shot. I would have been pissed drunk by the end of the game. I think he does get a little bit technical for the guy drinking a beer on his couch. But for the most part, it's... I think he'd get a little more John Madden in him, where he kind of talks about the grass in the guy's helmet, as opposed to just calling and predicting the play and being so technical. I think he'd be better off with that.
But I think he's going to develop that, if you ask me, because...
I think so, too.
It's year one, and he's just watching it live. He knows exactly what's going on. I just think it's amazing, because early on, you remember he was like, here comes a left pitch. He knew exactly what was... like, because as a quarterback, he just would see everything. He's translating. I think it's just going to take time
like
for
I
him
said,
to develop
he's fantastic.
His style.
He gets a little bit technical, but his enthusiasm, his knowledge is awesome.
I don't mind the technical stuff because I'm learning. I'm learning from him, but I think he'll find his own style. And I don't want him to get.
I don't want him to lose
more
the...
polished. Like I want he'll get polished, but I don't want him to lose that. I don't know what the
kind
word
of
is.
Childish,
innocent. Yeah, the innocence.
Innocent,
like he's genuinely excited to be calling this game and watching it and being a part of it. It's
I'll
almost
take
like
that.
He feels like he's on the sidelines living it.
I'll take that every day of the week.
I love about the guy the most is you can tell that he enjoys doing it. Like, he loves the game of football and he loves being around it.
Right. Like, he's got all the money in the world.
Job.
He doesn't have to be in the booth.
Yeah.
Tony Romo made $100 million in his career. He's probably got $50 million cash in a bank in Dallas. He does not need to be hanging out with Jim Nance on the road.
No.
Yeah.
And by the end of the year, calling Thursday night games and and Sunday games, games on Thanksgiving. Like, this guy's committed to it. He's the number one guy in the booth. But CBS has the golf tournament at Torrey Pines this week. He's a big golfer. He's a scratch golfer. Would you want to see Tony Romo as a part of the broadcast crew? He's not, as far as I know. But
that would be cool. But would he be allowed to kind of yell, oh, my goodness?
I don't know. I'd like to see it, man. Spice it up.
I think he could do what like a Bones McKay does for some of the PGA Tour broadcasts, where he's just walking along with a few players. Like, he's good enough at the game. He knows the players well enough to describe a lie, to describe a shot, to describe a break of a putt. But it's going to be the same thing that me and Jamie hear and everybody hears, which blows my mind. Because if Jamie or myself comment on a football game or baseball game, they'll say, you don't know about that. You never played that sport. You didn't either. Why the hell do you have the right to comment on it? But we.
What are you talking to me for?
No, that's what people say. They're like, you can't comment on that. You're a hockey guy. Well, what the hell are you? You're a nothing guy. You didn't play anything.
Well, that's fine. I don't care what people think. I'm going to give my take on it. You care what they think. They're going to give their take on it.
I've seen.
What does it matter? Who cares?
Once I saw you tweet out, I love to read your mentions sometimes, Hayes, and people are like, stick to hockey. I think you chirp like. Not chirped. You threw out a comment about soccer or something, and people are like, this isn't the Leafs, you know? Mm-hmm. Like it.
Oh, I get that from time to time.
It just...
Who cares?
You're right. Who cares? I would like to see him... Now, would there be any crossover with Vern?
Vern's a part of the CBS crew. Maybe he'd kick your boy Nick Faldo out of the booth. Imagine Faldo got booted.
Do we have Faldo's Masters call? The most critical moment for Jordan Spieth at the Masters. This guy puked all over. He sharted himself. Chunked one on 12 in the water. The Masters was over. And Nick Faldo, he should have just destroyed this guy up and down. If it was Johnny Miller, this is what Nick Faldo says.
Oh, my goodness.
I forgot that was an oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Do you have any more commentary?
Like there is so.
That's all he says. He doesn't say what the hell is he doing. He just says.
Oh my goodness.
Well,
that's as
Nicky Faldo.
No kidding. It's such a bad call. I didn't even give it credit
for an oh my goodness.
For an oh my goodness. Like, you got to bring some heat if you want to be included in what we're doing here with the oh my goodness
the
tracker.
The best of oh my goodnesses.
And
rank them, though.
Dude, we've been doing this for like a week, and they just keep... There's more and more added every single weekend.
People are starting to point them out. They've probably been there for a long time. We're just noticing them. But I still think El Chapo's and Sam Rosen's.
Yeah. Oh, those are the top ones. But you never know. Maybe Romo will catch them at some point. Maybe Faldo will...
There's got to be a ranking. Maybe a...
We'll do that at some
point.
Maybe
on Friday. On a mail-it-in Friday, we can do an oh my goodness ranking.
Okay. There's a lot of different options out there, a lot of material.
Yeah. Nothing tops Shappy.
That's probably
my
favorite.
Oh, my goodness.
Right
oh, my goodness.
Eye, right in the eye.
Ray Ferraro will join us. James Lofton, NFL Hall of Famer at 5:30. Mow Your Lawn Monday next.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Can you call you sometime, Pocahontas?
You got a number? Want some of this?
How about a little of that?
All right.
Mow Your Lawn Monday.
Why don't you kick this party off, Brian?
Simple, Nick Foles. I mean, Philly's going crazy.
He's got one of the greatest nicknames in sports.
Yes, he does, and Nick should be perpetuating that.
I don't know his nickname. Nick.
It's not actually his nickname, but fans of the Eagles are starting to use it as his nickname. And I'll tell you what, if he brings a Super Bowl back to Philly, they've never won a Super Bowl before, he'll be like Rocky. He'll be the new Rocky of Philly.
They'll push... Rockies.
Balboa will be kicked to the curb.
They'll get rid of that statue and they'll put one of him up.
Nick Foles.
I'm going to go with the obvious, Tom Brady.
How can you go wrong with
Brady? He's the GOAT.
How can you go wrong with Brady?
Like, I think people that hate on him, you can hate on him, but you can't.
It's jealousy.
You can't get down on what he's done. No. He is the greatest of all time.
It's unheard of. Like, it's not even... That's the thing. That storyline leading up to the Super Bowl isn't there. We're not debating, oh, if he wins this, that really makes him the GOAT. That's over. That is done. We're not debating anything.
Yeah.
He's the greatest of all time.
Tough to follow that one, but I'm going to go with the real deal, James Neal.
Yes.
He's arriving back in Vegas, 10-time 20-goal scorer.
I saw that.
And first place in the National Hockey League. So anyone in Vegas, who are you? Hi, my name's James Neal. I make about $5.5 million a year. I've scored 20 goals 10 years in a row, and my hockey team's in first place in the National League.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
Take a lap. Pigeons.
Move over. I'm taking your chick.
Ray Ferraro and Football Hall of Famer James Lofton in the next hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.